Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, wind's in my ear. I haven't felt this good in years. See all the people in the field all lined up in a row. We got a couple more long hours of work before it's time to go.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm psychologist and e-therapist Dr. Jim Weaver, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft, and we'll be boldly going out into the potosphere once again, where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we'll be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, Director of Bayside Neurorehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called Man on the Mind, and I hope I remember to include Dr. Mark in the show. I forgot him. Last week we got so involved in our topic. So our topic today, which hopefully we'll get involved in again, is the effect of technology on closeness, relationships, friendships, etc. And so are you there? You.
Good morning, my tech savvy darn guy friend Jim. Jim?
I'm not sure what's going on here. Hughes, are you there?
I'm there. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you. Okay, great. A little technical difficulty just to start us right off in the beginning.
How
Yeah. You and I struggling with technology, which is a common theme for us, I think.
I was going to say,
so you want
you and you're pretty tech savvy darn guy out of all three of us, four of us, and you know, so it's interesting when we're getting bumps in the road in the morning like this. But yeah, I had a little problem.
Scary. If I'm the most, that's scary. I'm the most technologically savvy. But anyway, I try. So you want to jump in?
Our topic today is the effects on relationships, human interaction, given our new, ever so quickly advancing technological communication devices. And I just put a small list here. I'm sure this is not inclusive at all, but, you know, we used to have phones that were just kind of tethered to a wall and phone books everywhere that you kind of had to have a little cord attached to the phone in order to talk. But now that we take the world with us wherever we go, and there's things like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, obviously the cell phone, which allows us to text. What else? You know, the iPhone now is a communication device. It just goes on and on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, and there's, you know, computers, which people, you know, really get sucked into and addicted to and you know, are disconnected from their from the people around them. There's, you know, movies on demand anytime that you want. You can get it on demand on your computer. You can get it from Netflix. You can watch a movie on your computer. with a disc or from online, from practically anywhere you are. So there's so many ways in which you can be somewhere else or tuned into something else and not where you are at the moment, not connecting with the person that you're with. I notice sort of looks like friends out together, and they're both on their cell phones talking to somebody else somewhere else, and I wonder, you know, how that affects their friendship, how that affects the quality of the hanging out together that they do. People seem to be driving and not paying attention to the road, so they're not connected that way. But they're also not connected to somebody else in the car. So I think there's so many ways which is it has invaded our lives. You mentioned the telephone. I am older than you are, and I actually remember before television. And you know what a difference that made. You know, people, I think, used to have meals together a lot more often. Now they have meals separately. Everybody's watching their different shows on different TVs, and everybody's got a TV. So I think it's sort of progressed in terms of the more options you have to distract you.
Wow, I was just watching my show. What were you saying?
Yeah, I mean, interestingly enough, maybe there's some people who are listening or will listen to this show while they're watching TV or doing something else. I don't know.
They're multitasking. I think what we're being encouraged to do ever so more is to multitask and just to do more and more with the given time that we're given. You know, I'm also struck with folks who are hanging out and on the cell phones when they're with other people. And when you said that earlier, there's the funny part of me wants to say, well, how do you know they weren't talking to each other and just make eye contact, you know?
It's possible.
Probably not. Okay.
But I remember early on when they had the those microphones that were sort of on a wire. They still do, and you couldn't actually tell whether somebody was on the phone or not. And I would see some people. I most vividly remember it in the airport, and it looked like somebody was schizophrenic and talking to themselves. They were pacing up and down the airport.
I think it can lead to a little bit of schizophrenia in all of us relative to trying to keep up with it all. And you know, if we all go there collectively, who's going to be left to give us a diagnosis, which may be in that direction a little bit if we're so scattered and, you know, talking at different levels with different voices to different people. You know, it could be an adequate diagnosis.
Yeah, let's you and I hold out so we can be there for all those people. I think another thing is when I was a kid, there were like three networks, so there were only three shows on at a time, and usually there was one that was particularly popular, and you'd go to the school the next day, and you know, people would be talking about Gunsmoke the night before, or you know, whatever was the hot show at the time.
Dude, you are old. You are really old.
I am old. I am old. Bonanza. I am old. But now there's not even that sort of shared cultural experience that. Everybody's watched something different the night before or done something different because we have so many options and you don't have that kind of cohesion. So lots of kids are diagnosed these days with ADD and ADHD. And some of it, I think, may be that they're just part of the culture. People make an argument that there is no such thing as multitasking, that you only task sequentially. So you kind of flip back and forth between whatever you're concentrating on. And sometimes you do a disservice to both things that you're flipping back and forth to. But let's talk about the other side of it for a minute.
Yeah, because we obviously have a little bit of a bias about this
right,
whole thing.
Right. Yeah. And you've got younger kids, and I think the big thing now is texting, and there's a way in which that can keep people connected with each other in terms of what's going on, where they're at. So there's a way in which it can make for closeness. I know who text back and forth a number of times a day. I guess there's not a lot of real expansion or context to all that, but they are connecting, and if there's somebody out there who finds that enhancing to your relationship or connection, I'd be interested in hearing that. Do you text?
I do. And there's a practical side to it and more of the relational side to it. The practical side to it is kind of like when I need, this is how I kind of use it. Well, I'll need to pick up my girl somewhere and I'll text them saying I'm outside or I'll be there in 5 minutes, which really practically kind of saves us some time and some headaches, and I can keep a check on them throughout the day or throughout the evening, or if they're down in the old port kind of hanging out, I can check in with them along the way. And it's just, there's a little bit of safety net built in there, which is really, really nice.
Sure.
And it's just a way of keeping it on.
No, I was just to say, I think, and also a safety issue, anybody traveling, especially a woman alone traveling, I think it's absolutely required to have a cell phone with you. Just as a precaution. So, there's lots of wonderful things about technology. I see all kinds of, I like offbeat movies, foreign movies, independent movies. So I get to see all kinds of movies that would be very hard to see. I'd be much more restricted to the mainstream kind of movies, whatever somebody was bringing into the movie theater. So that's a real boon for me. I think one thing is, like anything else, you have to be the one who's controlling it rather than it controlling you. And I think it's very easy to slip into it controlling you.
Yeah, an example of that can be at my house when we're having dinner and the girls have their phones in their pocket or in their laps and a text will go off and they're like, texting. I'm like, all right, surrender the phones. They're going to put them on the table across the room. But, it's really hard for them to not be available. And I think it's so...
Yeah.
We're being asked to be on call all the time when it comes to the texting or some of these other cell phone situations, and it doesn't I don't know, it feels invasive when it kind of comes to the dinner table like that.
Absolutely, good for you. I think that's a very important rule. And I think you have to have those kinds of rules to carve out time for yourself in this modern time, to carve out some family time. I wonder how many parents do that, though. I wonder how many, I see a lot of couples in my practice, and generally they do not have specified dinner times where everybody is at the table together, sharing, connecting face to face, getting caught up, having a relationship, and I think that's an important one. Another one is what time is set aside for media time, and where is the media? I think there are lots of kids who have TVs in their rooms. I think there are couples that have TVs in their bedrooms. you know, again, everybody's preferences are different, but man, you know, it seems like TV in the bedroom it sort of takes away from kind of connecting there at the end of the day, intimacy, those kinds of things. And I think you at least need to think about whether you want that rule of not having the TV in the bedroom. I never had a TV in the bedroom, and I don't want one. I don't think it's a good idea.
You're so old-fashioned. What is a TV?
You mean media center?
Well, everything seems to be going right to the palm now, too. I mean, all the media is in our lap or on our iPads or Kindles or whatever. I'm with you. Keep the TV out of the bedroom, but it's not even that simple anymore. It's keep the iPad out of the bedroom, keep the Kindle out of the bedroom, keep the getting it through your BlackBerry or your iPhone, you can get anything, movies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, it's just that much more to pay attention to around the infiltration of media demanding and competing for our attention. And I just wanted to get back for a second around my girls and texting because you're sitting there at a table with them. And what's happening in the texting world is this ongoing conversation, too, but it's not physical. It's not in the same space as we are around the table, but the text will come in and they jump on it and start using their little thumbs 1,000 miles an hour, and they're obviously having another conversation that's ongoing with another party somewhere else too. And it's just interesting. There's like two realities going on for them at the moment, and the quickness of which they respond to it. It's fascinating how they can be in two places at once. And most of the time I'm like, so what's going on? Who are you talking with? I'm not going to. It's almost like out of boredom that they can't not be connected. Not that there's anything really intriguing or of depth or conversation going on through the texting, but it's just a matter of them staying in touch with people and having this kind of ongoing thing, like how's the weather kind of conversation. So, it's just interesting.
Right.
I don't think I can stop it.
Right, and obviously it's something important to them, and they feel something really vital is taken away from them if you ask them to not do it, even just for dinner. But what if you ask them to not do it at all? I mean, somehow socially they would be really disconnected and out of the loop. It's a whole different culture. And I think, one of the things about being a teenager is wanting to be connected, and that's the way to be in the loop, connected nowadays. I wonder what happens to those kids who aren't connected that way. Does that have them feel really? Did you get a call there?
I hate to admit it, but I'm gonna. Yes, I did, and I put it on quiet.
If we'd stripped it that, we could have done it better.
I've been exposed.
Really?
It's so funny.
So.
Well, physically, we haven't let our kids. I have teenagers. We haven't let them go on Facebook yet. And Facebook, obviously, huge burn of time for a lot of people, and it's positive in many ways too. I don't have any familiarity with it, so I really can't speak to it. But given that they're not on Facebook and most of their high school is, they seem to be okay with it.
Okay, good.
It'll take for it too hard.
Yeah.
One of my daughters does Skype with her boyfriends. They kind of hang out together on the computer visually when they're doing their homework, which is kind of it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Kind of cool. As long as they're doing their homework, right?
Yeah. And we drop in and say hi to them and give a little grief every once in a while, so he knows we're in the background. But they don't go to the same school, so it makes it a little bit easier for them to kind of hang out together virtually.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Huh. Yeah, and I remember, you know, when I was a teenager, I mean, all you wanted to do was hang out, either hang out with your buddies or hang out with your, you know, with your girlfriend. And, you know, you had to go do that physically. But now you can do it anywhere. So it's a lot more convenient. At least you know where your kids are. They're in the house. at least mentally. I mean, at least physically they're in the house. Mentally, you're not sure where they are. But
Well, I think, you know, we're really at the early stages of all this technology going on, and you're right on with that one. You know, teens just need to hang out. They need to feel belonging, especially as they're starting to individuate and separate from their families a little bit. You know, they need to have some space and a place to belong to, and, you know, that's their gang friends, and that's normal and healthy development stuff. And the texting and the Facebook allows them to do it in other ways. You know, we as elders, older folks, may not totally understand it, because we have different priorities and different demands on our time. But, you know, there's a positive side to this whole thing, too, and as equally as many negative stuff. But, yeah,
I guess what I would encourage people to do, people who are listening, is to at least make decisions about the issue.
Yeah.
And look at it in terms of, you know, is this meeting my needs, and is it meeting the needs of anybody that I love and care about, and they're interacting for me. So I would encourage parents to, you know, bring up the subject with their kids and feel like they have the right to make some rules about it, so that it's, as I said before, not like technology running you, but you running the technology. And also in couples, you know, saying, you know, how you feel about the level of connection, whether you feel like something is interfering, the other person's, being on the cell phone or being on the phone or you know, watching TV, or, you know, is it taking away from you? Is it taking away from your relationship, from your perspective? And having an ongoing dialogue about that, whether you text about it or do it on the cell phone or talk in person. I would suggest you talk in person, but, you know, as to, okay, what is the momentum of our connection here? What is the momentum of our communication? And should we make some boundaries or some rules, or, you know, carve out some time where we're not interrupted, or where you are present for me? It happens that sometimes I'll come home and Stephanie's on the phone. And that's fine if it doesn't go on too long, but if it goes on too long, then I feel a little left out. It doesn't happen very often, but I think Stephanie's very considerate about that. But it makes a difference to me, you know, whether she's here and present and welcoming me. I really like that, and we have a real reconnecting time at home. So. I guess I just encourage people to think about it, notice it, and dialogue about it.
Yeah, what clicked for me when you were talking to that, for me, when I am available all the time by cell phone or whatever, there's a little bit of a stress that comes along with that, you know, just always being available with phone calls coming in and demands on my time and feeling like I need to respond to people. You know, it's okay to let things go to an answering machine or, you know, make myself available for a certain number of hours during the day, but other times I'm kind of needing to focus in on even my work or relationships or other things. So, you know, it's kind of, people to be mindful of the stress that being so available and so, kind of linked in and all these other places, what that can do to you. And I think, you know, this may be an interesting segue if Mark's calling in, but just you know, what are going to be the long-term effects neurologically to all this communication and, you know, all this attention going in so many different directions at so many levels. You know, it's got to have an impact. And, you know, this is the whole, we're kind of at the baby steps, stages of all this kind of stuff unfolding. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see where we are in 5, 10, 15 years relative to evolution.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't think anybody could have foreseen or predicted, even really good science fiction writers, you know, only have a vague idea of some of the things. So 5, 10 years from now, who knows what kind of innovations and technology we're going to be dealing with. Again, the hope is to stay on top of it so you have some say in how it's going. Speaking of Mark, he Dr. Kiefner has not called in. I think he may have been last week. Well, I've been watching very closely to see, you know, if he's there, but he's not. So I'm going to have to call him and see if I've offended him too badly. I don't think so. He is at work. He calls from work and usually has meetings around here, and usually around the time of the show, and he skips out of the meeting to call us and give us the privilege of his expertise. But I'll have to check and see what happened today.
Yeah, and maybe buy a new cell phone. That's a contribution.
Right, probably. So anyway, we're winding down here. I think we've covered everything I wanted to cover today. Anything more you've got before we end?
Well, just one more note that I made for myself here that, you know, these quick conversations that we have with people, whether it's texting or cell phones or whatever, they tend to be a little bit, you know, you just look at somebody's text, it's even abbreviated down as we take letters out of words and abbreviate the whole conversation and interaction. And you were commenting on this earlier, but I think it just kind of lends to a lack of depth or stewardship around the English language or unfolding ideas or meaning-making. You know, just kind of something gets lost with those whole process too. And, you know, the poetry of life, the poetry of relationships, the poetry of language tends to be sacrificed along the way here. And I'm not saying it's going to be like that forever, but, you know, I just hope that people can hear that and be open to the idea that, you know, don't give up on those the artful side of our lives.
Very, very good way to sum up. So we'll end for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Back next week, same time, 10 a.m. on Mondays. And would love for you to join us live sometime. Call in and with questions or comments. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, and you can get in touch with me at 207-208-8972. And I have office hours in Portland and Brunswick, and you can find me on the web at drjimweaver.com.
And you can find me at Twitter, Facebook, texting, LinkedIn, by cell phone, Hughes Craft, 207-774-0110. Also HughesK@GWI.net. That's me.
Hey, but you moved to a new office. What's your new address?
440 Forest Avenue, right near downtown USN Portland.
All right. Cool. All right, so we will see you next week with another topic for the Darn Guys. Take care.
All right, bye-bye, everybody.
Together down.
Take me away.